We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We traverse afar. I don't know about you, but this familiar opening verse of the most popular Epiphany carol reminds me and stirs up images in my mind of nervous Kids Rock kids and junior high boys as they are entering the sanctuary as three wise men carrying gold and two other gifts they cannot pronounce. It is one of the most delightful tales that we have in our biblical story. And it reminds us of this wonderful event that occurred on and is a part of our Christmas Eve nativity scene. Now, a humorous theologian once said this about the wise men. We don't really know if there were three wise men or more. I actually believe there were four, but the fourth guy's gift was fruitcake, and he wasn't allowed to go on the trip. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Oh God, speak to us according to our spiritual needs, and help us to understand in a fresh new way this wonderful story. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Well, since the earliest days of Christianity, there has been a festival that celebrates the arrival of the Magi, or the wise men, and it's called Epiphany. Now, the word Epiphany means manifestation or revelation, and it has to do with the revelation of Christ, the Christ child, the King of the Jews, born into the world and revealing himself to the world. In the early centuries of the church, Epiphany was one of three major festivals of the Christian calendar, Epiphany and Easter and Pentecost. And over time, the calendar began to come together, and Christmas had a fixed date of December the 25th, and Epiphany had a fixed date 12 days later at the end of the 12 days of Christmas, and that date was January the 6th, and it was called Epiphany. Well, the Magi associated with this story were Babylonians. They came from the Babylonians and the Medes and the Persians, and they had their beginning with a man by the name of Zoroaster, who lived back 1,000 years before Christ was born. And during his time, he began to preach a very simple message, and his message went like this: good thoughts, good words, good deeds. And those who began to follow Zoroaster became known as Magi, or wise priests. And over time, the term Magi became popular. And by the time of the first century, the time of Christ's birth, it was being used to describe people who had great knowledge. Well, today, most of us become so focused on Christmas Eve and all the activities associated with it, and on Christmas Day and all the preparations for that, that sometimes we may wonder, why do we even celebrate the festival of Epiphany? Well, it's because it teaches us the one thing that we all need, the one thing that we often miss during the hustle and the bustle of the Christmas season. Now, the Magi, the wise men, found that one thing, and we can find it as well. Well, in Matthew 2, verse 1, we read that Jesus was born during the time of King Herod. Now, King Herod was not a nice king. He was not a good king. He was insanely jealous, and the older he got, the worse he became. He murdered his wife, murdered her brother, murdered his own oldest son and two other sons, and then he was trying to find a way to murder this little infant child that was being proclaimed the King of the Jews. Well, the Roman Emperor Augustus once described Herod in this way: it's safer to be Herod's pig than to be King Herod's son. He told the wise men that he wanted to go and worship the Christ child. But of course, all he wanted to do was kill him and destroy the only true King of the Jews. Well, Matthew tells us that the wise men came from the east and they followed a star. Now, no one knows exactly where they came from or how far they traveled, or whether the star was a supernova or a comet or a collection and an alignment of the planets or some sort of a supernatural light, but all theologians agree that it must have been something great, a great distance, a great adventure, a great mystery that required a great ability to put forth time and effort and energy, which the wise men did. Just look at that picture on the front of your bulletin of those three wise men. Can you imagine riding a one hump camel for 1,000 miles? I might be able to ride a two hump camel, but a one hump, just couldn't do it. Well, Chad was a young man. He was shy. He was a little outcast as a little boy. And at the end of the school day, when other children would walk home, they never wanted to walk with him, and he always walked by himself. When Chad told his mother that he wanted to make a Christmas card for each and every one of his classmates at school, she was worried. She was worried that he might not receive any gifts or cards from any of the other students. Nevertheless, she agreed to go purchase the supplies so that he could make these cards. She purchased some paper and some glue and some crayons, and then Chad spent 3 long weeks preparing an individual card for each classmate and made it very special. But still, she was worried. He was overflowing with excitement about this, but she was worried that he might not receive anything in return and that he might not be able to handle it. So to help him feel better, on the day that he was to go and share these cards, she decided to bake his favorite cookie and have them hot and ready when he got home. Well, as usual, he got off the bus and all the kids were walking up the street and they were in a group up ahead of him and he was by himself. And she looked out the window and she saw that he had nothing in his hand. He had no gifts. He had no cards. He had nothing. And tears began to well up in her eyes. She was worried that he had received nothing. So when he opened the door, she kind of choked back her own emotions and she blurted out and said, "Oh, Mommy has some warm cookies for you and some milk too." Well, he barely heard a word she said. His face was glowing and he was about to burst with excitement and pride. And he said to his mother, "Not a one, not a one. I didn't forget a one, not a single one, Mom. I had a card for every kid in my class, and it was great." Even though he received nothing. The wise men understood what Chad understood, that the greatest joy in life is reserved for those who are more interested in giving than in receiving. Life is not about getting and consuming, demanding from others and taking or collecting. It's about giving, doing more than you're expected to do, loving and forgiving and sharing and doing your part and serving and helping and even sacrificing from your own time and effort and money, just as God has done for us. Well, the Magi said, "Where is the one who was born King of the Jews? For we have come to worship him." Now, this is a sheet that I gave to our session back in December, at our December meeting. It's entitled, 10 Reasons Even Committed Church Attenders Are Attending Church Less Often. And it lists 10 reasons why people are not going to church as they used to and why worship attendance is declining all across the nation. And number 8 is quite interesting. He says one of the reasons people are not attending as often is because there is a failure for them to see any direct benefit in attending worship. Now, the author is Kerry Newhoff. He was an attorney, and then he felt called to become a minister, and he went and became a Presbyterian pastor. And he writes a lot of these kinds of things. Well, what he says, though, is that there is tremendous value in worship for all of us, but that many people simply aren't seeing it. They're not looking for it. He says worship is not about getting something from God. It's about giving ourselves fully to God. So when we do, when we give ourselves fully in worship, our lives become richly blessed, far beyond what we can imagine. All has to do with our giving in worship. Now, verse 6 in this story is a quote from the prophet Micah. Now, Micah lived 740 years before the time of Christ. And Micah said this, "Out of Bethlehem will come a ruler who will be a shepherd to his people." Now, what a contrast. Here we have King Herod. He's ruthless. He's cruel. He's evil. He's not caring or kind. And then we have this Jesus who is a shepherd, who is caring and considerate and loving and helpful and constantly watching over us. Now, the wise men traveled some a thousand miles through an endless and dangerous desert because they wanted to worship and experience a new kind of ruler, a ruler who would turn the world completely upside down in his approach. Something that's truly a blessing for all of us. Now, I ran across a story in the news about an ice cream vendor in Florida who got stuck in dead-stopped traffic. And he was driving his ice cream delivery truck. And after a while, he got a little bit tired of sitting in the cab, so he got out, and he went to the back of the truck, he opened the door, and he pulled out a case of ice cream sandwiches. And he opened it up, and he pulled out one sandwich and peeled it open, and he started eating it. And as he did, he just happened to look behind, and there are just miles of cars dead stopped in this traffic. And he sees this one car right behind him, and there are four little small faces with their noses pressed up against the windows looking at him and wondering if they could have a bite of that ice cream. And he realized, so he took the case, he walked over to the car, the parents lowered the window, and he started handing all of them ice cream sandwiches. And of course, they enjoyed it. Well, all of a sudden, all of the kids in all of the other cars saw it. The doors started opening and kids came running and they gathered around this guy with their hands out. "I want an ice cream sandwich. Can I have an ice cream bar? Oh, I want the chocolate and the vanilla." And he was surrounded by all of these kids. And he started giving out ice cream bars. And he finished out that case and he went and threw it in the back of the truck, grabbed another case, started handing them out, went and got it. He used four cases of ice cream sandwiches. And everybody was so delighted to receive them. Then he goes back, he gets in the truck, the traffic starts moving, he gets back to the distribution center, and he's worried. He decided that he was going to pay for all of those cases, quite a bit. And so when he got back, his manager called him into his office, and he was afraid he was going to be reprimanded. But when he walked in, he was surprised to see his manager smiling at him, and he told him that what he did in that traffic jam was the best public relations event the company had experienced in years. He said, "All of these parents just called us on their cell phones and told us what you did and what a delight it was in a very frustrating and difficult and uncomfortable situation." That's what it means to give. Although the wise men couldn't change the evil King Herod, they were able to bring joy and delight to Mary and Joseph and to the baby Jesus when they finally arrived in Bethlehem bearing these most amazing gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, why these gifts? They're not like our typical Christmas gifts. Well, they were very expensive gifts, and so they demonstrated their true expression of faith and commitment to this Christ child by giving such expensive gifts. Sometimes we don't do that. We give simple gifts, inexpensive gifts. But when they did that, they were demonstrating their commitment as wise men to Almighty God. Now, God wants all of us to give generously and cheerfully, not miserly or measly. And as we begin this new year, it would be good for all of us to learn from the wise men by stepping out in faith and giving abundantly out of the great abundance that God has given to all of us. A second reason the wise men gave these gifts is because the gold represented Jesus' majesty, the frankincense represented his deity because it was used in worship. And the myrrh represented his sacrifice, his humanity, because he gave himself up on the cross for us. So these three gifts remind us that Jesus is the King above all kings, he is the Lord above all lords, and he is the only Savior above any and all saviors. In 1994, two missionaries were invited by the Russian Department of Education to go to Russia and teach abandoned and abused children who lived in this large orphanage. They were allowed to teach whatever they wanted. And so as Christmas neared, they decided that they were going to teach the children about the birth of the baby Jesus. And it would be the very first time that these children had heard the story of Christ and his birth. So they told the children about Mary and Joseph and the angels and the shepherds and the stable and, of course, the gifts that the wise men brought. And throughout the story, the children, as well as the orphanage staff members, were just glued to this story because many of them had never heard it before. And it was amazing for them to hear it. So when the story finished, these missionaries gave the children some little craft items so that they could help remember the story. They gave them little pieces of cardboard that they could shape into a tiny manger. They gave them little strips of paper that they could lay into the manger to represent hay. They gave them a little tan cutout doll, the image of a little paper doll, that they could lay down in the manger so that they would remember the story. But one of the missionaries looked over at one of the children and was startled to see not one little baby doll in the little tiny manger, but two little baby dolls. And she was puzzled by that, so she called the interpreter over, the translator, and said, "Can you ask him to explain what he's doing?" The little boy's name was Misha, a little six-year-old boy. So Misha began to repeat the story very seriously, and for such a young boy, he had only heard this story for the first time, and yet he remembered a good bit of it, and he talked about the happenings and how it happened with Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus in the manger. And then all of a sudden, he got to that part in the story, and he started ad-libbing because he couldn't really remember the rest. And he said this: "And when Maria laid the baby in the manger, Jesus looked at me and asked me if I had a place to stay. I told him, I have no mama and I have no papa, so I don't have any place to stay. And then Jesus told me I could stay with him. But I told him I couldn't because I didn't have a gift to give him like everybody else did. But I wanted to stay with Jesus so much, so I thought and thought about it. And I thought that what I had that maybe I could use for a gift, and I kept thinking, and maybe if I keep him warm, that would be a good gift. So I asked Jesus, if I keep you warm, will that be a good enough gift? And Jesus told me, if you keep me warm, that will be the best gift anybody ever gave me. So I got into the manger, and then Jesus looked at me, and he told me I could stay with him for always." Well, little Misha finished his story. His eyes suddenly flooded with tears, and they began to splash down his cheeks. And he put his hands over his face, and he put his head down on the table, and his shoulders began to shake up and down as he sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. This little orphan had found someone who would never abandon him or abuse him. Someone who would stay with him for always. So why celebrate this festival called Epiphany? Because it teaches us the one thing that we all need. The one thing we often miss during the hustle and the bustle of the Christmas season. The Magi, little Chad, the ice cream man, and Misha all discovered it. And we can too. What is it? It's simply the gift of giving. when we learn to give as they all did, we will learn to give as God has given to us. And there is nothing more joyful and nothing more fulfilling in life than that.